got something very important I want to show in the second class of Daniel, that I've been studying the Word of God for over 50 years. Good Bible teacher in Houston, Dallas Seminary, Lewisberry Chafer. In Daniel 11, learned things about angels that I'd never been taught. And I want to show you some of the things dealing with angels and the nation of Israel. So we will do that the next hour. Right now we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, which says, well, first of all, let's have a word of prayer. We need the Holy Spirit to be the eye-opener here and the teacher. So let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this word, your book. Father, we just thank you so much. It just reveals so much to us. We could spend 10 lifetimes and never really even begin to comprehend it, Father. We have one lifetime to allow ourselves through your Spirit, allow your Spirit to teach us so much of your word. Father, we pray your Spirit will open our eyes this morning in living the Christian life. It's not prophecy. It's not history. It's not even really Christology, theology proper. It's about living the Christian life among unbelievers and believers. So, Father, we pray your Spirit will open our eyes. In Christ's name, amen. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now, brethren, so he's dealing with born-again believers. James, I had to move this off of the platform because I needed the word. Well, I'm glad. Now, brethren, believers, we wish to make known to you. Oh, I'm in 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. If I live long enough, we'll be in 2 Corinthians 8. I may be in a wheelchair and have to be wheeled in, but that's all right, as long as my mind works and my voice. 1 Corinthians 8, 1. Now, concerning things sacrificed to idols. So this became this big issue in Corinth with the Jewish believers and some Gentile believers. We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. And we're taking a little step for a moment and studying some things about legalism, because this is where legalism comes from. And last week we finished up some introductory points on legalism, and we got through point 8, and I'm sorry, it's one more point left, and we'd have made it, so I don't know why I didn't do that. Maybe I was already over time. But the truth from the source of the gospel, and point 1, what is truth from the source of the gospel? 2, truth from the gospel is that God does it all. 3, truth from the gospel guides us in all relationships with God. 4, with legalism, when a believer walks according to law, works, do and do, deviates from the truth of the gospel. The point 5, the NIV, says acting in line. What we're dealing with is the passage, Galatians verse 14, but when I saw, 2:14, when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. Now this is Paul in the church in Galatia, and Peter was there, and Peter associated with Gentiles, Paul associated with Gentiles. Paul is specifically the apostle to the Gentiles, Peter to the Jews. And when the Jewish hierarchy came from Jerusalem, James, author of the book of James, came, Peter went into his legalism, which was fostered by the believers in Corinth. But when I saw they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. So that's what we're looking at. Point 5, the NIV translates this straightforward as acting in line. In line with what? In line with the gospel. Point six, straightforward. Orthopedeo, where we get the word orthodox, or orthopedic. Straight, foot straightening. And then we learned at point seven. So here's the question. Is what you have to do to recover from sin, to be saved, to recover from sin, to be filled with the Spirit, live a Christian life, live a righteous life, is it in line with the gospel? If you have to do something like confession, repentance, feel sorry, sit aside, all these things, you're not in line with the gospel. So we dealt with that. Now, point eight, again and again, live how you were saved. Colossians 2:6, as you have received him, walk. So we are to walk according to how we were saved, and that's by faith. You're saved by faith, you live by faith. You're restored from sin by faith. In faith, God does all the work. I'm not going to spend time in dealing with all the problems of faith. You've got to know, is your faith the faith God is looking for? And the faith that God is looking for is a faith in the member of the Godhead. He sent his Son for eternal salvation. He sent his Spirit for temporal salvation, temporal life. And finally, point nine, failure to understand how we're saved leads to faith and understanding how we are to live. And I use the illustration that if I'm taking a weapon and I'm firing at Kit and I'm aiming at his heart and I miss his heart by just a little bit, he's going to feel it and probably go down. But if he is 1,000 yards ahead, away or 2,000 yards away, that little bit comes a homer and I miss him completely. So when you're wrong on the gospel, what happens is it starts being magnified as you get into the Christian life. And that's why it becomes very burdensome. As you start living the Christian life under legalism, you can't do this. They just keep piling on what you can and can't do, what you ought and ought not to do. And the list becomes burdensome. So that's where we left off last week. Now what I want to do this morning is I want to look at physical legalism. Just note some things about physical legalism. And what we're going to do is we're going to note about six passages. And I don't want to spend a lot of time here because we've got so much to cover in 1 Corinthians 8, but I do want you to be aware of it. So let's quickly look. Hebrews 7:10. Look with me at Hebrews 7:10. And we'll come back and look at these in just a moment. I just want you to feel the momentum of what's going on with these. Yes, this is your body. Physical body. Hebrews, and I'm in chapter 9. Chapter 9, and let's look at verse 10. Since they relate only to food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until a time of reformation. That's the time of the church. Now look at 1 Timothy 4. We'll come back to that. 1 Timothy 4. I don't know how far we're going to get into this, but I want you to be aware of the momentum of these passages. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and let's read verses 3 and 4. Men, well, we'll start at verse 1, which starts the sentence. Paul loves long sentences, and he is good at his grammar. Every time I try to do long sentences, I mess it all up with punctuation, but he doesn't. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits, doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Men, and this adds now to the things that are going wrong, who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good. All the food. I have problems with Brussels sprouts, being into this, but the Bible's the Bible, and I'll give into the Word of God. Everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected. Wow. If it is received with gratitude. Now, there it is. I don't receive Brussels sprouts with gratitude. Right? If it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the Word of God and prayer. Prayer should always be associated with our eating. Not legalism, but prayer. Okay, the next one is Luke. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, and let's read 33 through 35. 33, Jesus Christ, of course, is speaking here to the Pharisees. For John the Baptist has come eating no bread, drinking no wine. And you say, he has a demon. The Son of Man has come, eating and drinking, the idea of drinking wine, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax gatherers and sinners. The thing we're going to see from this, you cannot please a legalist. Don't try. Don't succumb to their legalism. You will not satisfy them. Legalists are never satisfied. They're quick to judge and never satisfied. Actually, we could go on, verse 35, yet wisdom is vindicated by all our children. That is all the offspring of wisdom. Let's look at Mark. Mark 7. Mark 7. Let's begin reading in verse 13 of Mark 7. Again, Jesus Christ is speaking. Verse 12, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God. By your tradition, this is what legalism is, you have handed down, and you do many things such as that. Now, we could go on and read through 23 as far as the legalistic study is concerned. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's look at verse 31 through 33. 31. Whether then... you eat or drink, and it's not talking about water, it's talking about wine, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but profit of the many. And here's the objective, in order that they may be saved. And the last one is Philippians chapter 1. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1. And we want to look at verse 20 in Philippians chapter 1. Verse 19, for I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but that in all, with all boldness, Christ shall even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. So our body is part of our exaltation of the Lord. Got to remember that. Our body is part of the exaltation of the Lord. Okay, let's go back now to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 10. Hebrews 9:10. And what we're looking at is physical legalism. Legalism related to the human body. Now, all legalism is evil. No legalism earns points with God. If you do or don't do something because of legalism, it is not earning anything with God. Legalism is a great source of trouble in local churches, between believers, and even in families and friends. People have a lot of problem with family and friends because of their legalism. Legalism has hurt a lot of people. It's hurt a lot of marriages when one of them become legalistic after the marriage. Before marriage, they were living along and doing wonderfully. One of them becomes legalistic, and pow, there it goes. So legalism hurts, and in some cases, even destroys local churches, friendships, people's lives. And in fact, legalism can often do more damage than sin. Some personal sin. Legalism can do more damage than personal sin. Legalism takes forms and facets and categories, but we're going to limit this study this morning to the body, not to other things that legalism involves. We're going to deal with physical legalism. Now, God created the human body. Our human body was designed and created by God for three primary reasons that we'll note this morning. One, to house the soul. It's just to house our soul, to carry the soul around. Soul's not in the heart, soul's up here. So it is designed to house the soul. Secondly, it is designed to function in the cosmos so that we can function and get things done. And thirdly, to glorify Jesus Christ. So these are three primary designs of God in the creation and design of the soul. We could go through, talk about the creation, the creative design of fingers with a thumb, toes, the balance, all the parts, two eyes, two ears, one mouth. That means you should say, have as much as you see. You don't need to say everything you see. And we can have a lot of fun with the various analogies like that. But the body is beautifully designed by God. It's a beautiful machine, unbelievable mechanism, unbelievable. And it's just amazing how so many things work together and function together to get the plan of God accomplished in regard to our body. We're not going to get involved in it, but the man's body is designed different than the woman's body, and anybody with any common sense can see they're not designed for each other. The male body is not designed for male. The female body is not designed for a female. It's designed for the opposite. And any person, I'm not at all a mechanic or a carpenter, but I know the difference, and I know that a screw is designed for a bolt and screws in there. I know that. That doesn't take me a lot of education to figure that out. But apparently it's not so obvious in our society. The Roman Catholic Church, I'd like to spend a lot of time on this. The Roman Catholic Church has, in a way, it worshiped the body, and it has kept the body, and in medicine, development of things known about the body, in handicap for over 1,000 years. Persia in B.C. had better teeth than George Washington did. And one of the primary reasons for this was that the Roman Church made it a sin, legalism, if you intruded on the body. Treat anywhere on the body, that's wrong. You can't do that. And they kept science handicapped. Galileo, I'm sure all of you know, was put into prison because he said the earth is round. And the Roman Catholic Church, saturated with its legalism, has kept man contained in regard to development of things that deal with the body. The human body is not shameful. The human body is not dirty. It is beautiful by design. The human body is beautiful by design. It's Satan who came in and told Adam and Eve, you're naked. Now, we appropriately dress appropriately for different occasions, but the body itself is not ugly or not shameful. And things about the body are not shameful. And it's a shame that a lot of legalists teach their little children, their little boys and little girls, that's shameful. This is, it's not shameful. Not shameful at all. And one of my favorite scenes, the Goodbye Girl, was not Dustin Hoffman, but Dreyfuss, was sitting in his room, and they had, anyway, he shared an apartment with this lady and her daughter. And he was in there doing his morning whatever. And she said, are you decent? And he said, yes. She came in and she goes, ah, you're naked, you're not. He said, hey, I'm decent. The body is decent. I'm decent. She said, well, I didn't know what I meant. And so you just have to deal with the understanding. The body is not something shameful. The functions of the body are not shameful. They're all designed by God. Okay, with that introduction, let's look at Hebrews chapter 9, and let's start at verse 10. Hebrews chapter 9, and let's go to verse 10, and work our way a little bit through it, not in great detail, as I'm prone to do, but just look at a few things in it. Hebrews 9:10. Now, the old law is the issue. The law, the Mosaic law, not just the Ten Commandments, but over 1,000. What has happened is the church has taken many of those things and made them obligatory to live the Christian life. And that is wrong. That is legalistic. So that's the basis of where we come from. And so Paul said, in fact, all things are legal, lawful for me. He doesn't mean sin's lawful, but things related to the law, things about the food, things about the body, they're all lawful now. All that stuff is out and in the dispensation of the church. Okay, verse 10 of Hebrews 9, we have the Mosaic law and the human body. The context is the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Christ, and into the Holy of Holies in heaven, and the shadow of the Old Testament with the church age. Verse 10 is what we're interested in this discussion. Now, verse 10 says, for this is the covenant. No, I'm okay. Verse 10 of chapter 9. Since they relate only to food and drink and various washings, referring to the law in the Old Testament, since they relate only to these things and they apply only to those things, to food and to drink. The drink refers, of course, to the drinking of wine, fermented wine. It's amazing how the Baptists always want to have wine in the Bible as an unfermented, and but it's fermented. And Christ turned water into fermented wine. How do we know that? Did I just make that up? No. You had a wine taster, which is a very admirable profession. If I was not a pastor, I would love to have been called to be a wine taster. There are only about 5 or 6 in the world who have reached that point of master wine tasters. And they're invited to unbelievable parties, unbelievable things. And they're asked to taste all these wines. And I've had the pleasure of sitting at a table with one worldwide wine taster. And this is a wine taster. He knows good wine, and he knows water. And he told Christ, this wine is unbelievable. Most people save serve the best, and then at the end serve the worst. You have served the very best wine at the end. That's unbelievable. That's incredible. So he was saying, this is excellent Bordeaux, even though Bordeaux hadn't been farmed yet, Bordeaux wine. This is a Lafite Rothschild. This is a Latour. This is very good wine. So it's talking about fermented wine. All right, let's get back to our study. Get off of wine. All right. So, then the church age is totally different. It's unique in the area of food and the body. I'm imagining it's even going to be unique from the millennium. the old dispensation rules and regulations were enacted over the physical body. Now, you got to remember when you read these things in the Old Testament, people, sanitation. They didn't have sanitation. Refrigeration. They didn't have refrigeration. They didn't have all the things we have in the church age. You couldn't walk down to the local store and buy a bar of soap, get some cologne, get this and that. Couldn't do that. And be very careful with your meat. Very careful with pork. Don't eat it. Don't eat it. It's not good. Now, in the church age, if you like pork, you like sausage and that, fine. We know how to process it. We know how to refrigerate it. But you got to remember, a lot of these laws of the Old Testament were designed to protect the human body from getting sick and dying. So that's what it was designed for. Okay, so verse 10, since they relate, reply, only to food and drink, various washings, the Levites had to wash everything. Now remember, they're dealing with blood. They cut open the lamb's throat, blood splashes everywhere. They carry the blood into and put it on the altar. It's a messy deal. You got to be very careful with your washing. Very careful with your washing of utensils. I'll never forget when I got married. I'm out working on the barbecue. And I bring in a dish, get the meat, take it out there, and I bring the cooked meat in on that dish. You're double contaminating! You're double contaminating! I said, I'm what? What are you talking about? I've been doing this all my life. Oh, that's double contamination. I went, well, don't tell anybody I double contaminated. But those are good health rules that we need to know about and be aware of. And now I'll probably live to be 105 because I no longer double contaminate. No, you don't either anymore. But you did it one time. And we didn't get sick. It tasted really good with that juice in it. But we can't convince them of that. But anyway, so these are health rules. And they were very important. And this is one of the places, last week I told you about dispensations and the pastor's conference. That was the theme of it. And time periods of history. Reformation periods of history. God dealing with his people differently in times of dispensations. So this is a dispensational issue. So verse 10, regulations for the body imposed until a time of reformation. What is a time of reformation? That's the church age. That's when everything is changed by the burial, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit indwelling every born again believer. So legalism in the body, perversion of the law, distortion of the law is what legalism does. It distorts the law. They take things related to the Old Testament, try to make it law for the New Testament, which doesn't apply to the church age. Okay, let's go to our second passage, 1 Timothy 4. If you have any questions as I go through this, because as I said, I'm not going to spend a great deal of my normal length of time on these things. So if you see something in the passage that I don't cover and you want to know about, please feel free to ask. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 3. Men, actually it's not men, but it refers to the hierarchy, the leaders, who forbid marriage, advocate abstaining from foods, which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. Okay, we could spend forever on this passage. They're legalistic about marriage. You shouldn't marry. Marriage is bad. and sex is bad, and some of them, I mean, it's just amazing how far legalism can go. If you're going to have sex, you got to put a sheet between you with a hole in the sheet. Now, that just, to me, just is so absurd. But that's what they say. And there are people who practice that to this very day. And you just can't do these things. And so they forbid marriage. And there are people today who forbid. I don't know how they plan on keeping their denomination going if they forbid marriage, but that's their problem, and not mine or yours. But this is the area of legalism. They come up with all this goofy stuff. Should not marry, forbid marriage. And so it just becomes unbelievably ridiculous. All right? Let's see. Men are those who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods. Okay. What we're dealing with here is asceticism. Now, you got to understand something. This is very important in the study of legalism. Every one of us have an inherited sin nature. And in that inherited sin nature are trends. Trend toward lasciviousness, trends toward asceticism. And every sin nature, every inherited sin nature has a touch of both. Every one of us are lascivious in some areas. Every one of us have an ascetic trend in us. And ours just differs from everyone. That's why it's so interesting to look at various legalists. To one group of legalists, you cannot throw dice, but you can play cards. Now, I don't know the difference. You cannot play dice, but you can play dominoes. I don't understand. They both have little dots on them, and both are ivory, all this kind of stuff. But it's just your brand of legalism. Where what you decide is a legalistic act. What you decide is the preacher's going to tell everybody, you cannot do this, but you can do that. And one thing about legalism, you always want to know, how far can you go? It's like the law. The speed limit's 50. Can I go 48 in this area? I need to know, what will the police allow me to get by with? That's what happens with the law. Anytime you have law, you rear your children by law, they're going to be prone to ask, well, what about this? What about that? You just you teach them. As they go into high school, you want them to be safe. You want them to not get involved in sin. So you can't do this, you can't do that. Okay, Pop, let me ask you. Can we kiss? Yeah. Okay. Well, can we French kiss? Oh, no. All right. How do you know? Where do you know that from? Before you even answer the question. Go chastise them for knowing about it. And it's just, he's going. And you just keep working it down. Well, Pop, let me ask you. Is one button okay on her blouse? Or is two buttons bad? One button okay, two buttons bad. They wonder, we're all that way. What is the limit here? How far can I go here? That's what legalism begs. That's what living by law begs. What can I do? We're that way with our taxes. Can I go this way? Can I discount that? Can I do this? See? It just begs it. What they ought to do? 10%, everybody. No deductions, no anything. Everyone pays 10%. 15%, whatever you decide. No? So since we give deductions, I want to know what my deductions are. Well, so we all have in our system, in your system, so be very careful when you judge some legalist. You all have a trend of lasciviousness, and you all have a trend of asceticism. In most cases, one of those is overbearing. Now, in society, those who are ascetic, those who are withdrawn on everything, and they live under asceticism, that's kind of okay. Not a problem. Those who are lascivious, oh no. No, no, no. That's a no-no. You can't do that. That's a sin. Can't do that. While the ascetic person is living in just as strong a sin of self-righteousness as the lascivious person, but he gets away with it. Because some things offend us more publicly. So these are just issues that we have to deal with in our Christian life that we don't like to deal with. But we have to deal with them. So this becomes the great issue. Okay. Now, so we all have ascetic trend. We all have a lascivious trend. One of those is generally dominant in each person. All right. Forbid marriage. They are against sex and sexual relationships, and they just forbid it. Prohibition of marriage. Prohibition of sex. Prohibition of food, good food. Prohibition, any food, generally any food that tastes good. Any food that tastes good is on their list. You can't eat that. That's bad. Any food that tastes bad, eat all you want. See? Just have all the Brussels sprouts you want. Have all that stuff you want. But you cannot have ice cream. You cannot have candy. You cannot... It's just really interesting if you've ever known an ascetic or lascivious person. It's just amazing how they think. How did you come up with that? See? They ignore passages like the one we're looking at in 1 Timothy. No, that's not what it means. It's not dealing with that. So, this is what one of the problems. 4:3. Now, have a good abstaining from foods. Which God has created. God has created food. He created meat. He created plants to be eaten. To be gratefully shared. Not only eaten, but shared. Here, enjoy this T-bone steak with me. Alright? Gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. There's the issue. If I'm going to have a big T-bone steak dinner, I won't invite you if I know you don't like meat. Sorry, you're not invited. Because you don't have the truth to know. Eat all that you want. See? Oh, then you got people coming up. Oh, well, you eat too much meat, you're going to have heart problem. Eat too much meat, you're going to have colon problem. You're going to have this, you're going to have that. You eat too much of anything, you're going to have a problem. I don't know if you can eat too much Brussels sprout. I don't know if anybody's ever tried. But the thinking of these people is really, really weird and absurd. Okay, to those, here's the secret. To those who believe and know the truth. Believe in Christ, believers, and know the truth of Scripture. And you got to know the truth of the Word of God. And that comes by studying the Word of God. Okay, let's go to Luke 7. Let's go to Luke 7. Luke chapter 7. And we're going to look at verse 33. 33 and 34. Now, this teaches us a lot about legalists. One, they are extremely judgmental. Two, you can never please them. You can never please a legalist. Look what happens. 33. John the Baptist has come eating no bread, drinking no wine. He ate grasshoppers. So if you want to be that way, go eat some grasshoppers. All right? And you say, behold, he has a demon in him. Has a demon. That's why he just doesn't eat any bread. Doesn't drink any wine. He has a demon. You can't even praise him for things that are on your list. Well, he's gone too far. But look at the next one. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, has come eating and drinking wine. And you say, behold, a gluttonous man. One has a demon, one is gluttonous. You cannot satisfy a legalist. You cannot. Don't even try. My advice is, stay away from legalists. The best you can. Just stay away from them. Gluttonous man and a drunkard. He drinks wine, he must be a drunkard. And that's where a lot of Baptists think that way. If you drink, you're a drunkard. You drink any alcohol, you're drunk. You drink wine, you're drunk. You drink beer, you're a drunkard. No, you're not. No, you're not. But that's the way they judge. A drunkard. And not only that, they throw in a friend of tax collectors and sinners or prostitutes. So it doesn't matter to a legalist. They are set on their scale of judgment, what's right and wrong. So it's just going to be that way. And that's the way they are. The Son of Man has come drinking, and this is what he did throughout his life, and drinking wine, and by the way, that is fermented wine, and has come drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. It's very interesting. You have a demon. Or the Son of Man does not, and you say he is a gluttonous person. Okay, look at verse 35 while we're here. Yet wisdom is vindicated by all her children. Okay. Her children, the offspring of wisdom. See? This is what Jesus Christ emphasized. Wisdom. The wisdom of God. The real issue is not works. The real issue is not drinking. The real issue is not eating, not abstaining from drinking, not abstaining from eating. The real issue is wisdom. I choose not to eat today. I choose not to drink today because of who's here. I know it'll offend them, so I'm not going to do it. That's wisdom. But am I going to let them control my life? No. They're not going to control my life. That's wisdom. So you have to deal with the wisdom. And vindicated by her children, yet wisdom is the teaching of the Word of God. The Word of God vindicated from its offspring. That's the whole point. All right, at this point, let's note some summary points. One, physical legalism is arrogance of the believer. It leads to self-righteousness. A self-righteousness based on superficialities, what is seen by the eye. When you approach the Bible with arrogance instead of humility, with self-righteousness instead of humility to learn, you pick up and you emphasize the wrong things. Two, the primary purpose of the Mosaic Law is condemnation. The legalist turned it into commendation. Mosaic Law, don't do this, don't do this. So they now say, oh, if you don't do it, that commends you. No, the Mosaic Law is written to condemn. We saw this in Romans chapter 5. Point three, when you are negative to the teaching of the Word of God, you have to fill up the void. One thing about legalists that you'll learn, they generally don't know a lot about the Word of God. They may know a little bit about their legalism, but as far as the whole span of the Word of God, dispensationalism, prophecy, eschatology, ecclesiology, they don't know those things. They don't want to know those things. History, they don't want to know those things. They've got in their mind, this: if I do this legalism, I'm right with God, and that's all I need to know. So when you are negative to the teaching of the Word of God, you have to fill up the void. So you can put in your soul biblical truth. Or you can put into your soul emptiness. You got to fill up that emptiness. So you want to be right with God. So here I am. I don't want to study the Word of God, but I want to be right with God. Ah, I'll do these things and I'll be right with God. I won't do those things and I'll be right with God. That's the birth of legalism. It's the birth of religion in itself. Four, the Mosaic Law is something wonderful and good. It leads to Jesus Christ. But legalists distort it, ruin it, neutralize it. In fact, they take it away from Jesus Christ, and it leads to how wonderful they are. It's just amazing what a legalist will do with the Word of God. Five, food, drink were designed for enjoyment and for necessity. Therefore, the physical legalist neutralizes what God has given in grace. Take marriage. God has given marriage in grace. God has given marriage as something wonderful for the stability, the perpetuation of the human race, all these wonderful things. But a legalist distorts it, takes what God has given in grace and ruins it. It's just amazing how legalists are. And they're increasing in the number in America today because we've gotten away from the Word of God, yet people want to be right with God, so they become legalists. Oh, you can't own a gun. You can't shoot. A Christian shooting somebody, and there they go. And what they say may sound good. It's not biblical. I'm always interested in when preachers study Peter in the Garden of Eden, or in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he cut off the man's ear. None of them make a point. Jesus Christ never said anything about him having a sword. And by the way, they all had swords. They all had weapons on their hip. Peter used his. Christ never said a word about, Peter, you shouldn't have that sword. That's bad. Didn't say that. Didn't say that at all. So, you got to understand things that are legitimate in the Christian life according to God's Word and things that are not. Things that are sinful. So, this becomes a great issue in our study. Alright, principle of the body and itself. Jesus Christ's personal testimony regarding physical legalism and the body for food. Okay, let's go to Mark 7. Go to Mark 7. Mark chapter 7. And we want to concentrate on 13 and 14. Mark 7, 13. One of the most interesting things about legalism, it invalidates the Word of God. Look at verse 13. Thus invalidating the Word of God. That's what legalism does. The most important thing you can say about a legalist, they invalidate the Word of God. Sin doesn't even do that. Sin just, I'm going to go do it. Legalism says that's wrong and you better not do it. Look at verse 12. You no longer permit him to do anything for his mother or his father, which is the Word of God says we're to take care of our parents, thus invalidating the Word of God. By your tradition, note tradition, legalism is based on tradition, not based on the Word of God. We just pass it down. You don't go to movies on Sunday. You don't drink. You don't chew. You don't go with the girls that do. Well, you find out soon those are the fun girls. So wait a minute. We're going to have a problem here, Father. Mother. See? And so it just passed down. This legalism is passed down. And generally added to. Added to. So it becomes something really, really horrible. You no longer permit him to do nothing for his father and his mother. That's by the law of Korban. And Korban was where, you know, mom and dad, I'd like to help you by giving you this money, but I've already devoted that money to God. So it's to God, it's not for you. Sorry. So you don't even allow them to help their mother and dad. Thus invalidating the Word of God by your tradition, not the Word of God, tradition handed down, which you have handed down. And you do many things such as that. Whole category of legalism is involved in that category. Or we could spend a great deal of time here, that we should read through the end of the chapter. But let's go on to our next one for the sake of time. We've got Mark 7, and let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Any question about physical legalism? Does this raise any question? Can I or can I not do this, do that? So let's see what 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says. All right. Well, that's my place here. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Whether then, all right, let's start at verse 30. If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that which I give thanks? Whether then you eat or drink, or whether you do whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Now there's our guiding factor in legalism. And it's not legalism. I choose not to do this. I have a right to eat. I have a right to drink. I choose not to because I know it'll offend this person and I want to give them the gospel. They're Jew, they're Gentile. I don't want to confuse them on the gospel. On the other hand, I don't want them to think that the gospel includes you can't do this. So it's a very precarious situation to be in. I want to be sure that they understand that you're abstaining from doing that, not because it's the gospel, but to just clear that from the board in their soul, that the only issue is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the only issue that you want to make. Okay? Verse 32. Give no offense either to Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Church of God is not the church of God. Church of God is the church of God in the church age. Okay, thank you. Somebody laughed. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, not seeking to gain for myself, well, I want to eat, I'm going to eat, I want to drink, I want to drink. No, I just live my life not to offend others so I can keep the gospel straight. But the profit of the many, look, that they may be saved. That's our objective. That's why we're here. Glorify Jesus Christ. Lead others to the saving knowledge of Christ. Let's close with Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 19. For I know. That's the big issue. Knowing. For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provisions of the Spirit, the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I shall not be put to shame in anything, abstaining or eating or drinking, but in anything, to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, physical boldness, Christ shall even now as always be exalted in my body. And here he says, whether by life, by how I live. How we live is important to our Christian life. How we live with our husband, our wife, how we live in single life, all these things, it should be for the glory of Christ. That's what we're here for, body, soul, and spirit. Well, this just covered a little bit. Next week we'll continue on with 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Any questions? Let's close in a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. It doesn't bind us. Our Savior said, my yoke is light. We walk by the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit, not by the traditions of man, but by your Word, by your Spirit. Father, I pray you take the things we saw this morning, let them settle in our soul, and guide us in our life. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. ever true.